you ever hear from our New York friend, by the way, David Sandel, or he's disappeared off the face of the planet?
I have no. I've written him a couple times, never heard from him. Don't know.
Strange.
I'll try again.
Mysterious participant in our show. Might never get to see him. Okay. Without further ado, says the Gemara. Let's go back to Chav Zayin Amud Beis. So, we're in the middle of a story, and the story thus far is a confrontation between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. It all started with regard to the Machlokes, about whether Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus or a Chayva. And Rabbi Gamliel said it is a Chayva, Rabbi Yeshua said it is a Rishus, and they had that whole stand down in the Beis Hamedrash, whole showdown in the Beis Hamedrash, where Rabbi Gamliel asked Rabbi Yeshua what he held, and didn't you not say the opposite? And eventually he was very embarrassed, and Rabbi Yeshua finally admitted that yes, I did once say that Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus. So the Talmidim in the Beis Hamedrash were so upset with Rabbi Gamliel, because they said this is not the first time, and in fact not the second time either, that he has been Metzair Rabbi Yeshua, and on that basis they decided to remove him from his position as the Nasi. And that's really where we left off the story, and we're going to see now the continuation Be'ezus Hashem this morning. So let's go to the bottom of Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Chav Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, the fifth bottom line, the second word on that line. So they said, Tor Na'avre, let us come and remove him from his Nasius, remove him from his position as Nasi. With the big question being, Man Noikimle, but who are you going to establish in his place? Who's going to be his replacement? Nukma L'Rabbi Yehoshua. The obvious candidate would be Rabbi Yeshua himself, the one that Rabban Gamliel just had that machlekas with. Says the Gemara, no. That is precisely the reason why he's not an eligible candidate, because Baal Maisa who? What does that mean, he's the Baal Maisa? That means the story happened with him. And if the story happened with him, then, as Rashi says, if you look at Rashi towards the bottom, Baal Maisahu, Vahavalei L'Rabban Gamliel, Sa'aro Tfei. This would add insult to injury, as the expression goes. In other words, it's bad enough that Rabban Gamliel is being removed from his position, but to give it precisely to the very person that he just had the whole confrontation with, that would add additional tsar. It's interesting to point out, Parashas Korach, after the whole machlokes with Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach and his followers, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu instructed Aaron HaKohen's son, Elazar, to take all of the machatois, all of the frying pans that the 250 people had used, and the whole instruction what to do with them. And the Mefarshim point out, in fact the Mefarshim, the Meiri on our very sugya, points out that why was it Elazar ben Aaron? Why not Aaron HaKohen himself? Aaron HaKohen was the Kohen Gadol at the time, and Meiri explains precisely, that's exactly the point. Because the machlokes was between Korach and Aaron HaKohen, you know, and to ask Aaron HaKohen himself now to take the very machlokes that were left by the 250 people that he just had a machlokes with, that would add additional tsar to the second side. And therefore, the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sensitive to their feelings. And the Meiri said, that's exactly the same Yesod as you see in our Gemara as well. That even though they decided, obviously, Beroiv Chochmosom, Uvedas Torah, that Rabban Gamliel had to be removed, but there's no need to give it to Rabbi Yeshua, who is precisely the one that he lost out to. Okay, so therefore Rabbi Yeshua is not an eligible candidate. Says the Gemara, how about Nukmi L'Rabbi Akiva? Why not give it to Rabbi Akiva, the Heliga Tana Rabbi Akiva? Says the Gemara, no, that's also not a good idea. Why not? Dilma Onish Lei. Maybe Rabbi Gamliel, but very upset with him. Onish literally means to punish, but here we're using it in the word curse. Maybe he'll give him a klala. Why? Why would he do that? The less lay zechus avos, because he doesn't have zechus avos. Why doesn't he have zechus avos? Obviously, because as we know, Rabbi Kiva was a ger tzedek, and therefore he's not really coming exactly from illustrious stock. And if that's the case, then Rabbi Gamliel might not be very happy if he's his replacement. Ela, next candidate, Nukma Lerbalozo ben Azaria. So how about establishing Rebelozo ben Azaria in his place? Because it seems to be that he's got all the credentials. Why? Duhu Chocham, he is wise. Vuhu Oshir, and he's wealthy. Vuhu Asiri Le'ezra, and he does indeed come from very illustrious stock, because he's the 10th generation to Ezra, Ezra HaSofer. Therefore, Hu Chocham, with regard to this credential of being a Chocham, Di'i Makshi Lei, if they ask him a Kasha, Mefarik Lei, he'll be able to give an answer. He's a very well-versed Talmud Chocham. Vehu Oshir, so too he is wealthy. So why does that stand him in good stead? Di'i Islei Lefluchi Lebei Kesar. The Feluchi means to pay taxes. If indeed the Caesar, the Caesar, will tax, will lay upon a heavy taxation on the Nasi, Afhu Ozil, he'll be able to go Upolach and pay up that taxation to the Caesar. Therefore, with regard to that, he's also well equipped. Vehu Asiri LeEzra, and as mentioned before, he is 10th generation to Ezra. The Isle is Zechus Avos. So he certainly does have Zechus Avos. Veloi Motzi Onish Lei. Therefore, nobody would possibly want to punish or curse him, because unlike Rabbi Akiva, he does indeed come from illustrious stock. So it seems to be that he's got all the necessary credentials to be the new incumbent Nossi. Says the Gemara, Osu, so they went, va'omru lei, and they said to him, Nicha lei lamar, is it Nicha, are you comfortable, are you okay with the lahave on being Reish Masifta? Reish Masifta means being the head of the yeshiva. Are you happy with being the new Rosh Hashiva, with being the Nossi? This is the position that they now offered him. Omar lohu, so he said to them a fascinating answer. Ezel ve'imlech ve'inshi beisi. I have to first consult with my wife. Inshi beisi literally means with the people in my home, but obviously this is a reference to his wife. Very, very interesting. Why is it so interesting? Because this is clearly a matter of Kedusha and of Ruchnias. Nonetheless, he felt it was no less important than anything else. And he first had to consult with his wife to see whether it was suitable at all. Ozal, so he went. Ve'imlich, and he went to consult Bedvisu. Bedvisu is the Aramaic for wife. So he went to consult with his wife. Omrolei. So she said to him, ever practical as women are, she said, Dilma ma'avrin lecho. What does that mean, Dilma ma'avrin lecho? Maybe they'll depose you, just like they got rid of Rabban Gamliel. So why would you be so excited to step into his shoes? Maybe just like they got rid of him, they'll get rid of you as well. Look at Rashi. Rashi's actually at the bottom of the previous page. Ma'avrin lecho, yoriducho. Yoriducho, from the word yorid, to go down. Yoriducho, maybe they will depose you, min ha-nasiyas, from your position of nasiyas, bishvil acher, in favor of somebody else. So why would you want to take this position? Maybe they'll depose of you just like they depose of Raman Gamliel. Omar lo, so he answered her in the following moshel. And he said to her, Lishtamish inish. A person should be mishtamish, should use yoy mechada for one day, bekasa gemukra, with an expensive, or as Rashi says, a glass cup, ulemochar litvar, even though tomorrow it will break. We've said many times that when you have an Aramaic word with a tof in the middle, if you exchange it to a shin, that'll help you translation. So litbar would become lishaver, lishbar, to break. So what was the expression? What was his moshel? It's worth using a glass today, even if it'll break tomorrow. Meaning, you don't refrain from using a glass because why would I want to use it today because it might break tomorrow? Chaparayim. At least at the moment, it's usable. What will happen tomorrow? Tomorrow is another day. With the obvious reference being, you're right, they might indeed depose me. But at least today, it's a worthwhile position. Look at Rashi. Not the top Rashi, because Rashi says lo yigrosino, on the second Rashi. Kasa de mukra, kois zechuchis. Zechuchis means glass. A glass cup. Yekora, which is expensive. Shekoirin lo beloshen Yishmael, which they call in Arabic, Arkia. Vaoimrim b'nei Adam, and people say, b'moshel hediot. What does that mean, a moshel hediot? Like in a simple moshel, a phrase. Yoim echod yishtamish ba'olov. It's worth the bailim, the owners, using it one day. V'yishabed boy. What does that mean, v'yishabed boy? And he'll have great covet from it. He'll be able to flaunt this beautiful, expensive glass. Enjoy it while it lasts. V'im yishover, yishover. And if it breaks, it breaks. It's true, it can always break, but it's still worth enjoying whilst you can. That was the moshel. Now, we mustn't chas v'sholem misunderstand. Even though in the moshel, the purpose of using the glass was to be mischabed boy, to receive honor from, but we could be rest assured that that was not Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's intention to say that so too I'll take the nasius in order to get the kovet. He wasn't drawing a parallel. You don't use an expensive glass for the same reason as you become the nasi. All he was saying was, each particular one has its mila. So the particular mila of an expensive glass is you get a lot of kovet. You can flaunt this magnificently expensive cup. It might break. Fine, if it breaks, it breaks. So too in the case of the nasiyas, that's where it has its mila, not chas v'sholem, that he was thinking of taking on the nasiyas because you get kovet, but rather it has its milas. Whatever I'll be able to achieve as a nasi today is not worth ignoring on the basis that tomorrow it might be lost. So it's worth it for today. So she said to him, one second, it's not poshet. Omrole, she said to him, les loch chivarta. I think we all know this from the Haggadah Shel Pesach. She says, you don't have any white hairs. Now, why is that a job requirement to have white hairs? So says Rashi, Les lechivarto ein lecho saorois levonois shel zikno. You don't have any white hair of zikna, of old age. And why would you want to? V'no'e ledarshan, for a darshan, for a speaker, it is noah, it is pleasant or advantageous, liois zokein, to be elderly. Tremendous chiddush in the Gemara. I've heard from Rav Kornfeld many, 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 many times. He's told me that his father-in-law of Aaron Feldman once went with his older brother of Emanuel Feldman to visit Rav Steinman. Rav Emanuel Feldman is actually older than Rav Aaron Feldman, but he looks younger. So when they were introduced to Rav Steinman and Rav Aaron Feldman, who I assume Rav Steinman already knew, introduced his brother, Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, and said, this is my older brother. This is my older brother. So Rav Steinman was taken aback because he doesn't look like an older brother. He looks like a younger brother. So he said to Rav Steinman, said to him, oh, you're an older brother. You look so young. And Rabbi Emanuel Feldman was very chuffed. He said, oh, thank you so much. When they left, apparently Rav Steinman asked the people around him, Rav Steinman didn't understand. Why, when I said that he looks young, why did he thank me for it? In other words, in our Western culture, the younger you look, the more of a compliment that is. But Chazal tell us the exact opposite. The Chazal tell us that the older Zakenim become, the more they have Yishuv Hadas, the wiser they become. Here you see, Rashi is telling us clearly, that if somebody looks old, that's a lechisaron, that's a maila, that's a maila. So much so that she said to him, how can you possibly take the Messias? You don't look old enough. You look too young. You don't have enough white hairs.
This, the whole Maisa that we're going through here in terms of the appointment of Elazar ben Azariah to the Messias, if you think about it and go all the way back, okay, fine, Rabbi Akiva doesn't work, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't work because of all the Maisa, but what about all the other... Balak Treason. In other words, he was only 18 years old, and there wasn't anybody else that was as part of.
I don't know. Good question. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Okay.
But this is quite a set of Talmidim in the Beis Hamedrash. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel, all in the same Chabura. But either way, it seems to be, you're right, it seems to be he was the most qualified, except for the fact they didn't have white hairs. If I would have been there, I would have said, don't worry, become a Rav for a few weeks, you'll have some white hairs, don't worry. I'll call Pony Weifen, so she was worried. She was worried, she says, you don't have any white hairs, you don't look old enough. So what happened, as we know, Yisrachish lei Nissa. So a miracle happened to him. What was the miracle? Va'ahadru lei tamni sri dori chivarta. All of a sudden there appeared 18 rows of white hairs. Says Rashi, Yud ches dori chivarta, Yud ches 18 shurois shel zikna. 18 rows of age. The next morning he woke up and he had in his hair or in his beard 18 rows of white hair. And as we famously know from the Haggadah Shel Pesach, Hainu Dekoma Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and that's why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Hare Ani Ka Ben Shivim Shana. I am as if 70 years old, because of course he wasn't 70 years old. Veloy, but he did not say ben shivim shana. He said ke ben shivim shana, with a kaf, meaning as if 70, which means he had the appearance of a 70-year-old, but he was very much a young person. He was just 18 years old, incredibly, at the time. Now, that's not the end of the story. Tana, we have a brisa that continues and tells us what happens after Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's dramatic appointment. Tana, Oisoi Hayoim, on that day, Salkuhu Lashoimer HaPesach. On that day, remember we're talking about the Masifta, the yeshiva there, the Beis HaMedrash, where people would come and learn. Until that stage, Rabban Gamliel was in charge, so he could decide who comes in and who doesn't. But now there's new leadership. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was the new leader, and he decided, I'm changing the rules. There used to be a shomer, a guard, at the door of the Beis HaMedrash, and he would be dictating who's allowed to come in and who isn't. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had him removed. Says the Gemara, Moisei Hayom, on that day, which day? On that very epic, dramatic day in which Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became appointed, Salkuhu, they removed L'Shomer HaPesach, the guard at the door, V'nosna Lohem Rushus L'Talmidim Likones, and they gave permission to any Talmid to come in. Now, what does that mean? Because until that point, it wasn't that way. Shehoya Rabbi Gamliel Machriz, because Rabbi Gamliel, who used to be the leader, used to announce V'oimer, and he would say the following: Kol Talmid She'ein Toichoi Kabaroi, the famous expression, any Talmid whose Toich, whose inside, is not like his outside, Loi Yikones Lebeis HaMedrash, cannot enter. So Rabbi Gamliel insisted that it's not just open door policy. Not everybody who knocks on the door can come in and learn. What was the qualification? Toichoi Kabaroi. His inside has to be like the outside. In other words, sometimes you might see somebody who's on the exterior appears all fine and well, but we know that inside he's rotten to the core. Rabbi Gamliel said, you can only enter if you are both fine on the outside and also the inside. We know the famous remez to this, because the Oroin in the Beis HaMikdash, which housed the Torah, was wood. Was gold on the outside and gold on the inside as well. Chazal tell us, because this represents the Torah, Toichoi Kabare. So that is what used to be policy in the Beis HaMedrash there, as long as Rabban Gamliel was the leader, but he is no longer the leader. Now Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah changed the rules, and he said, anybody can come in. We're no longer being makbid on Toichoi Kabare. We're not being particular with Toichoi Kabare. So of course, as we can well imagine, there was a whole additional flood of Talmidim. And what happened? Hahu Yoima, on that day, again, we're referencing that day, Itoisvu Kamo Safsali. They had to add many, many benches, many stools, many shtenders to the Beis HaMedrash, because all of a sudden there was a huge influx of Talmidim. How many actually entered? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Kligi Bo Abba Yosef Ben Dostoi V'Rabbonon. There was a machloikas between two Tanoim, Abba Yosef and the Rabbonon. Chad Omar, one opinion says, Itoisvu Arba Meir Safsali, 400 extra stools, extra chairs were brought in. V'chad Omar, Shva Meir Safsali. It wasn't 400, it was actually 700. There is a wonderful pshat in this Gemara from Isaiah, the Heilige Ksav Sefer. The Ksav Sefer, this is actually written in Parshas Devarim, and we once mentioned it in the Parshas Shir. The Ksav Sefer apparently had a slightly different text in the Gemara. We have the two opinions being 400 or 700. His version in the Gemara was 400 or 800, exactly double. So the Ksav Sefer asks, firstly, it's very strange to have a machloikas with the two opposing opinions being so far removed from each other. If one would have said 400 and the other one would have said no, 420, fine, we can appreciate those two opinions. But how can one of them be so off the mark? He said it's 400, no, actually it was double. It seems very unlikely that one of the opinions would be so off the mark, in fact, be 100% wrong. How can that be? Furthermore, it's just a strange machlekas anyway. What does it mean, 400 or 800? I mean, this is not a machlekas in halacha. This is my opinion, this is your opinion. What actually happened on that day? I mean, presumably you could count how many people came into the Beis HaMedrash. How can there be a machlekas? It's just a fact. Either they did or they didn't enter 400 or 800. What's going on? And above all, I guess we could really ask, why is it important for us to know the numbers anyway? 400, 800, what's the difference? There was a lot of new Talmidim. That's the bottom line. So the Ksav Sofer, in his genius, answers all of these questions, and he says that actually there is no machloikus in the Gemara whatsoever. One opinion says 400, one opinion says 800, again according to his version, there's actually no machloikus. What happened was there were 400 Talmidim in the first place. They were already learning in the Beis HaMedrash. In addition, another 400 arrived. And that's why the first opinion says 400 additional benches had to be added. Yes, because it really was 400. So why did the other opinion say 800? What he meant was that when the second 400 joined, that automatically influenced the first 400. As we know, if you learn by yourself, it's not the same as learning b'chavrusa. And if you learn b'chavrusa, that's not the same as learning in a whole chabura. When you have a whole chabura learning together, that's more than the sum of the individual parts. Everybody is impacted l'toiv. That's the whole mile of learning as a chabura. Says the Ksav Sofer, therefore there's no machlokes at all. One opinion says 400, one says 800. It's true. There's no factual machloikas. There were 400 extra Talmidim. When the other opinion says 800, what he meant was to say not just that there were 800 in total, it was as if 800 had just entered the Beis HaMedrash. Why? Because the first 400 also were invigorated, were uplifted by the second 400. So if we want to know how can there be a machlekas so off the mark, there's no machlekas. How can there be a machlekas bichlal with regard to something factual? There's no machlekas. And why is the Gemara teaching this to us bichlal? Why is it important to know? To know this very principle. That when additional Talmidim enter the Beis HaMedrash, then everybody is impacted. Everybody is impacted. If you have 10 people in the Beis HaMedrash and you can bring in another 10, you haven't really brought in another 10. It's as if you brought in 20. Because the first 10 are uplifted because you now have the koyach of the rabbin. 20 is more than 2 times 10. That's really what we're being taught in our Gemara. It wasn't just 10 plus another 10. When the last 400 came in, the first 400 felt it. They felt elevated. This is a bigger chabura, and the Torah therefore is more elevated. Okay, so I think we should just clock out and we'll clock back in immediately. So this is in accordance with the Ksav Sofer, the message that we're being taught in this Gemara, that one and one is not always two. One and one is actually three sometimes. 400 Talmidim entered, but the first 400 were all impacted as well. Says the Gemara, Kocholshe Daite Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel became Cholshe Daite, literally means his das became weak. He became very upset. Why did he become very upset? Omar, he said, Igvalt, Dilma Chas V'Shalom Monati. Maybe I withheld Torah Miyisrael. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Kochol She Daita Derem Gamliel. Kishera Oshani Toisvu Hayoim Talmidim Rabim. When he saw on that day how many extra Talmidim entered the Beis HaMedrash, he was worried that he shouldn't get punished. Because he was the one who refrained, who withheld them the Yomov in his days, Milovo, it's the Beis HaMedrash. He says, look at this. On one day, an extra 400 Talmidim have arrived in the Beis HaMedrash, and I was the one not to allow them in the first place. Does that mean that I'm going to get punished for withholding Torah from the masses? So something very strange occurred over here. Achzulei, they showed him Bechalmei. What's Bechalmei in his dream? Chatzvi Chivri, a white pot, Demalion Kitmo, which was full of ash. So what were they trying to show him in the dream? If you have a big pot and all that's in it is ash, that's another way of saying it might look a big, impressive pot, but there's nothing in it. So what was the dream trying to tell him? There's no need to be upset. Yes, the Beis HaMedrash is packed. Between you and me, there's not much in it. Says Rashi, Demalian Kitma Kloimar, what this means to say is, Af Elu. So too, these people as well, these Talmidim who have now entered the Beis HaMedrash, Einom Ru'uyim. They're not really fitting in to enter the Beis HaMedrash. I wouldn't lose any sleep over it if I were you. Now, why is that strange? Because the Gemara says, Veloihi, it's not so. It's not so. It's actually incorrect. These Talmidim who entered the Beis HaMedrash were great Talmidei Chacham. So what was the dream about? Ha'hi le'yesuvi daite hu de'ochzu lei. This was just to be meyashiv his das, just to appease him. In other words, the reality was that the Talmidim went to the Beis HaMedrash, were great Talmidei Chachamim, there's no question about it. But he was very upset, so in order to calm him down, what they did was HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him in a dream as if to say that it was an empty pot. But that wasn't the truth. Just give me 2 seconds. Now, there is a lot of halakhic discussion actually in Chazal. Based on this Gemara. We're not going to launch into the whole subject, but just to bring it out. There clearly was a machloikus over here, lahalacha. Do you have an open door policy, or you don't have an open door policy? There's a machloikus. When Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, he maintained that you cannot let everybody into the Beis HaMedrash, you have to be, as he called it, toichoi, Kabari. And there was a shomer at the door. I'm not quite sure how the shomer was able to discern who was Tochei Kabara and who was not, but either way, he did not let everybody in. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai now stepped onto the scene, he suddenly removed the shomer. Everybody can come in. My father told me that when he learned in the Meir Yeshiva in the 1970s, the yeshiva was in the same building as it is today. There was actually, by principle, no front door to the yeshiva. The yeshiva did not have a front door. There was a building with a doorway, but there was no door. And my father told me that this was a principle of the Meir Yeshiva. We do not close the door on anybody who wants to come and enter the Beis HaMedrash. He said at a later stage, unfortunately, for security reasons, they had to obviously add a door. But either way, there seems to be clearly a machloikas lahalocha, and it's a very fundamental machloikas, and you see how upset Rabbi Gamliel was afterwards. Maybe I did the wrong thing. So as you can imagine, it's actually a chazal. Chazal talk about this. Are you allowed to teach a Talmid who's not ra'u? And this is very negeah halocha lamaisa, as you can well imagine. Especially in the areas of Kiruv, if you're teaching the masses and you know full well that the chances are that some of them are never going to become from anyway, do you say, well, it doesn't matter, I'll take the risk because some of them will become from? You see that to teach Torah is not necessarily an open door policy. It's not necessarily true to say, whoever turns up, we teach them no questions asked. It's not true. And what happens if somebody is deliberately very provocative? And you know that if you teach him Torah, he'll distort and try and distort everything that's written in Chazal and prove Chazal wrong, Chas v'Shalom. Do you simply say, it's not for me to refuse? Open door policy. It's a very, very big discussion. But the discussion, I'll call upon him, is based on our Gemara, because there seems to be clearly two opinions on this subject between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Okay, back into our Gemara. Let's continue the story. So we're still talking about this phenomenal day in the Beis HaMedrash, which will forever go down in history in Klal Yisrael, the day that Rabbi Gamliel was, as it were, deposed. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was put in place instead of him, and now you have a Beis HaMedrash with an extra 400 or 700 or 800 Talmidim, each one of them Tanoim. We have no inkling of what the scene must have been like. Says the Gemara, Tana, Idiyos boi bayoim nishnis. Remember, if we had this early on in the Masechta, Idiyos. Idiyos is either a Masechta of Idiyos or testimonies, various Tanoim, Paskin Shailas based on testimony. V'chol heicha da omrinon. Wherever we say boy bayoim, quote unquote, whatever we say on that day, which day is it referring to? Hahu yoima hava. It's always referring to this day. This was this epic day in which all the Tanoim were learning together, and they were each one being megale, different adios, testimony they had with regard to this halacha, that halacha. Veloy hoiso halacha. Unbelievable. There was not a single halacha shehoiso tluyo the Beis HaMedrash sheloy pirshuha. There was not a single halacha which was hanging, as it were, in the Beis HaMedrash, which was not explained. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Tluya besofik. There was no halacha left hanging in doubt. Sheloi pirshuha. That wasn't explained. Everything on that day, all the tanoim, every sofik, every shaila that arose, nothing was left hanging. It was all explained and paskened. How so? Because of the great influx, the great amount of Talmidim, Rav Hachidud Vahapilpul. What does it mean, Rav Hachidud? Chidud literally means to be sharp. There was great sharpness and pilpul. Pilpul means discussion. It's a phenomenal thing. People sometimes don't appreciate this. I experienced this week. For the first 3 weeks of Zman, I learned with my chavrusa upstairs in my parking lot, because we weren't allowed to learn indoors. So we took two shtenders, and he brought his Gemara, I brought mine, we sat 2 meters apart, and we learned in the parking lot. In accordance with instructions of the health ministry, we were allowed to enter Kollel this week. So we did. Baruch Hashem, we re-entered our Beis HaMedrash, actually it was on Thursday. I can tell you, it's a different learning. It's a different learning. You're still learning with a chavrusa, but now you have, exactly as Rashi describes, chidud v'pilpul. You have a kasha, you have a teretz, you bounce it off somebody else. What do you say? What does he say? What does somebody else say? And everybody has their input. And suddenly the whole level of learning is different. It's not just the zchus that's elevated because you have more people learning, but the actual standard of learning is more. Somebody will come over and ask a shaila, oh, I didn't think of that. Thank you for opening my eyes, etc., etc., etc. So this is what the Chazal are pointing out over here. That all of the shailas, nothing was left hanging. Why was nothing left hanging? Because Robu Hachidud Vahapilpul. there was so much sharpness and discussion between, because there was a great influx of Talmidim, Mamela, no halachic shaila was left hanging, everything was passed. Rabbi Yehudovitz, electricity hasn't gone. That's what it looks like. Says the Gemara, Va'af Rabban Gamliel, and even Rabban Gamliel himself, even Rabban Gamliel himself, who of course was the one who had just been deposed, nonetheless, Loi Mona Atzmoi, he did not refrain himself, Mibes HaMedrash Afilu Sho'o Achas, even for a moment. The word sho'o we always translate to mean an hour, but we know that it doesn't mean an hour. When was the last time that we said these words sho'o achas? Every time we say the bracha of Asher Yotza, Yi efsher l'skayim lefonecho afilu sho'o achas, does not mean that we cannot survive for an hour. It means we can't survive for a moment. So Rabban Gamliel did not want to miss out on this phenomenal ribui of Torah and the Chabura learning together. Therefore, even though you might well have thought that, listen, having just been deposed, you would want to stay well clear of the Beis HaMedrash, not at all. The opposite was true. He did not refrain from learning in that Beis HaMedrash even for a moment. Ditznan, because we have a Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Masechtas Yodayim, and it says as follows. Boi bayoim, on that day. Now again, what does that mean, that day? As the Gemara pointed out before, this particular day that we're talking about. Bo Yehuda Geir Amoini. There was somebody called Yehuda who was a convert from the nation of Amoy. Now, we know that an Amoyni cannot enter Klal Yisrael. La Yovoy Avmoyni, Mayavi beKlal Yisrael. This is, of course, in Yonah D'Yoyma, because that was the whole misunderstanding with Rus. How could Rus enter Klal Yisrael? So Chazal told us there's a difference between the men and the women. But either way, men of Amoy and Moyov cannot enter Klal Yisrael. So he had done just that. He had converted. And he wanted to know, and he says, he came in front of them in the Beis HaMedrash. Omalahem, and he said, Ma ani lovoy b'kohol. Can I enter the kohol? What does that mean, can I enter the kohol? Am I free to marry another Jewess? And there was a big machlekas. Omale Rabban Gamliel. So you see, Rabban Gamliel was there. That's why the Gemara brought this story. It was Boi Bayoim on this very day. And this particular Shaila arose, and guess who answered it? Rabban Gamliel. Clearly he was there in the Beis HaMedrash. Omale Rabban Gamliel Osor. It's forbidden for you to join Klal Yisrael. Osur ata lovoi b'kohol, you are totally forbidden for entering Klal Yisrael. Omalei Rabbi Yeshua said, no, not at all. Muta ata lovoi b'kohol, it is perfectly permissible for you to enter the kohol. A huge machlekes. Omalei Rabban Gamliel. So Rabban Gamliel said, one second, what's going on? But surely, v'haloi kvar nema, doesn't it after all say, mefurish in the Torah, lo yovoy amoini umoyavi bekal Hashem? It says quite clearly that anybody from Amoin and Moyov is not allowed to enter Klal Yisrael. So that's why I maintain that he cannot join the call. What's going on? Omalei Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua said back, V'chi Amoin u'moyov bimkoimon hein yoishvin. Do you think that Amoin and Moyov are still in their original place? Meaning, do you think that we genuinely know who is from Amoin and Moyov? Absolutely not. Why? Because Kvar Olo Sancheirev, Melech Ashur, Chazal tell us the famous statement that Sancheirev, the king of Ashur, came along Bilbeil Eskola Umais. What does that mean, Bilbeil Eskola Umais? He mixed them all up. All the nations. It says an incredible thing. Sancheirev conquered most of the world, and he took nations from one country and put them elsewhere, and put the nations from the other country, put them in the first. He's mixed everybody up such that we don't anymore really know who's from Amon and Moav. That means even if you, particularly even if you happen to reside in that country, but it doesn't mean you're a real Amoni or Moavi. It could well be that you're a descendant of somebody else whose ancestors were mixed up then. How do we know that's what happened? It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. Shenemar, as it says Mefurash in the pasuk, Va'osir Gevulois Amin. I have removed the boundaries, Gevul, of the people. Va'asidoisehem Sheisesi, and I have robbed all their treasures. Va'oirid ka'abir yoishvim, and I have brought down as one mighty their inhabitants. That is the strict translation. From which we learn that Sancheirev completely overran all of the nations of the world, mixed them all up, says the Gemara in conclusion, v'kol deporish meiruba porish. What does that mean, kol deporish meiruba porish? We have a principle, we follow the majority. Meaning, he mixed up the nations. Now, it's true we don't know who's an Amoini and who's a Moavi, but any person who comes in front of us might just be that. So how can you say with certainty that he isn't? And the answer is, I can't. But I'll pirive, statistically, the majority chance is that actually he's not a Moavi, and he's not a Moavi, or a Moini. So the kol de porish, whoever leaves from a group of people, meiruba porish, we always follow the roiv. And therefore, this whole principle of an Amoini and Moavi not being allowed to join Klal Yisrael, says Rabbi Yeshua, is no longer relevant in our times. Because once Sancheirev had been mevalbel everybody, we no longer know who's who, and even though there is always a far-fetched chance, there is a chance at the end of the day that maybe this particular Yehuda is in fact an Amoini or Moavi, but at the end of the day, statistically, al pi roiv, it's safe to assume, and you're allowed to assume, that he's not. And if that's the case, that's why I'm allowing him to join the Kohol. Okay, we'll hold it over here, a bit dramatic, and we'll see Be'ezras Hashem on Thursday morning how this story pans out. Be'ezras Hashem would like to reach, if I can, at least to the two dots, which is the third Y line, and Be'ezras Hashem probably further than that as well, including the Tosis at the top, very gishmak and yusuf. Okay, I wish you well. Have a great day, everybody.